for your word. And this morning, Lord, as we delve into it, we ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. That, Lord, it'll be you moving in our midst. It'll be you, Lord, who is investing in us as we invest our worship and praise to you. But, Lord, let us not just listen to the word. Let us hear the word this morning. Let us take it to heart and let us learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to just recap a few things that happened a few weeks ago when I was preaching. I preached on praise and worship, as you know, for a couple of weeks. And this scripture, I think, is very key to what I want to say. We talked about why we meet together, and I want to go back over some of that, if I may. This scripture here in Acts 17, and as you see, that's our church. That's what we look like when everyone's not here. It's a peaceful place when nobody's here. Do you know that? It just has this... It has an atmosphere in here. It's not just because there's no one here. There's just something in the house of God that we leave this deposit here as he leaves his spirit among us. So Acts 17, 26 says, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. The key I want to just take from this scripture, and there's a lot in it, the bit I want to talk, is that this is your appointed time in history. This is our appointed time in history. We stand, of course, on the shoulders of those that have gone before us, those that have gone back, you know, right back to, you know, the beginning of time, because it says from one man he created and had this plan. So we're not just talking about from the time of Jesus, we're talking right the way back. We stand on their shoulders. We stand on what they have done, what they've invested. And as a church, we stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. And there'll be others that follow us. The message James preached last week about this relay race, about passing the baton on and how small our part really is. It might be small, it's still really significant. Because what we hand on is really important. That was a great message last week, James, as usual. And so I want to say that he's marked out the appointed times in history. So we're not here by accident. It's not like we just decided this would be an okay church to join. God sent us here. God put us together here. And there's a few people away this week, and it's because it's holidays, and I know that. But I want to just say that we have a relationship with purpose. We're here for a reason. We're not just here to meet every Sunday and have church, as sadly some people contemplate, not in our church, but certainly there are churches that think like that. But we have a relationship with purpose, and the purpose is that we take a hold of what it is that we've been given, and then we run with it, and then give it to the next generation, those who will follow after us. You know, Chris and I are talking about retirement. We're a long way off it yet, but we're talking about it. Because if I'm not just going to run to the last day, I'm not going to run to the last day and then say, okay, see you guys. We have a succession plan we need to put into place. We need to find who God is going to take this church on. We're going to have to find who it is that'll surround the new leaders of our church. So we're talking 7 years, but you know what? That 7 years will go quickly. You know, that 7 years will go fast. And we have to think about, this isn't just about me. It's about what's coming. And so all of us are investing in this church. I love this church. This church is a church of people that just invest in what God wants to do here. And it's exciting. And I talked about how we meet together in many ways for many reasons. We meet on a Sunday and we understand that. But there are other things going on during the week. Some are structured. Some are just casual. You know, we all meet together in various ways during the week. So if the next slide, please, Geordie. And I talked about these five reasons that we meet on a Sunday. Now, I know that's very specific. There's probably a few things in there. It's not as black and white as it looks. But we meet together for praise and for worship. That's a key element. Now, we talk about living a worship lifestyle, and we need to be praising God every day. But there's something about coming together and singing to God and praising him, and he calls us to do that. We gather for prophetic revelation. And again, we've got great prophetic revelation through Colin again this morning. And I'm excited the way God speaks into our church. We meet together for prayer and for proclamation. You know, we had prayer requests this morning. We prayed during elements of our meeting, and we're proclaiming the truth. We meet for promotion of fellowship and friendship. That's part of it, is the fact that if we are called together, we've got to get on. We've got to have a relationship that is greater than who we are individually, but who we are in Christ. And then, of course, the last thing is preparation. God is preparing us. He prepares all of us for the works that he has for us to do. And the role of Apostle prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, is to prepare everybody for the work God has got for them. And so there's a heavy, heavy responsibility on the leadership of the church to do that. And that's really key to what we're doing. But I want to talk today, we talked about praise for a couple of weeks. For a couple of weeks, I want to talk about prophecy. And I know that in our church, we experience the prophetic regularly. And we acknowledge that the prophetic is real. But acknowledging the prophetic and experiencing the prophetic is one thing, but understanding how God wants it to operate is another. So most of you have been in this church and you've experienced the prophetic. Some of you may have experienced the prophetic before in other churches or in this church before Chris and I came. Some of you may not have experienced the prophetic where you came from, and you've come in here and you've embraced it, and that's a great thing. But we also need to understand, what does God do in the prophetic? Why does he speak into our midst? What's it about? Why is it so important, and how is it to operate? And as I say, this week I want to lay a foundation. You may know most of this stuff, but next week I want to really address how the prophetic works in the context of a church. So the next slide, please. And the next one then. That's a nice picture, isn't it? I want to give you an example of the prophetic from the Old Testament, and we're going to talk about New Testament prophecy as well in a moment. But here we see Ezekiel. And in chapter 2 of verse 1, God speaks to him. God says this to him. He says, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I'll speak to you." Who knows that sometimes when you get a word, I know Colin, when you get a word, sometimes it's like, is this God, isn't it God? You know, shall I get up or don't you? Because I know that feeling. Shall I? But God is saying, get up on your feet. I've got something for you. Stand up on your feet and I'll speak to you. And as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. I'm sure that's exactly how the prophetic works in people. You know, I'm not a prophet. Sometimes God gives me prophetic revelation, but I'm not a prophet. And I don't generally move under the spirit of prophecy, but I can recognize the spirit of prophecy. I can see it when it's operating. But I know that the times that's happened to me, I felt God almost lift me out of my seat and go, okay, all right, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to say. And then suddenly God speaks to you and speaks through you. Very, very powerful. So he speaks to Ezekiel. And then the next slide, please, Geordie. Ezekiel 37, we see why he wants to speak to him. He takes him through this process and this journey. And we see here in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 10, what he wants. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you'll come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked and tendons of flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army." Now there's a lot in Ezekiel. I'm not looking at it from the perspective of what that prophecy means. Most of us would understand what it is, but we're not going. What I'm sharing with you here is how God works. I love the way God does miracles. He does miracles, but he uses us. And he doesn't have to. Did God need Ezekiel to prophesy to those bones to make them come back together? No. Did he need Ezekiel to prophesy the breath to come into them to give life? No. God loves to use us. He loves to use us. Why? Because in our weakness, his glory is displayed. That's one thing. And the other thing is that he actually wants to use us. He wants his church to breathe his life on others, to be able to bring something to take out the dryness and put the life back into what it is that we do. I love the fact that Ezekiel had to obey first. He had to prophesy. It says here, I prophesied as I was commanded. He says it twice. This is what happened at the Red Sea. God could easily have parted the waters, but he said, stretch out your hands. And they passed through. Moses stood there, people held his hands up, and when he did that, that's when the sea began to part. When Elisha was putting the oil into the land, into the jar, the widow's jar, he had to lift it and put it in. Do you think God could have put the oil from there into there? Quite simply. But he wanted to involve Elisha in the pouring of the oil so that he was part of the miracle. When they wanted to heal the waters, there had to be an action done for it to happen. God wants to use you. He loves to use you. I mean, he can do it all without us, but he loves to use us. And I love that about God in how he does miracles. Sometimes we stand back and wait for God to do something when he says, I need you to do something first because I want to involve you. I want you to get the excitement of what I can do just through you. Because who knows, we can't change anything, really. We don't have the power to change a life, let alone bring life to dead bones. We need to obey and let God breathe on us so we can breathe life into others. You can't be a life giver if you're stale and dead inside. I see how it was the Spirit, it says, came into me. And then the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out by the Spirit. You see, that's where your life comes from. You can't give life to anything, but with the Spirit of God in you and on you, you can give life to anything that God calls you to give life to. So I've talked about praise and worship. And I want to say that praise and worship and prophetic utterance, including preaching, because preaching can be prophetic. I want you to understand that. Prophetic utterance and preaching and praise and worship brings life. Who's come into church feeling stale and you don't want to praise, but you open your mouth and you lazily say the words and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord comes on you and you start to really feel the presence of God. It brings life. The prophetic brings life. Colin always blows me away because he always says something that's either going to be in the message or that we've been discussing as a church. It shouldn't blow me away because that's how God works. I love the fact that things dovetail on a Sunday in our church. Part of what he said is part of my message today. I'm reusing a scripture that he quoted but didn't quote as a scripture. He quoted it as a word from the Lord. Just have to read 1 Corinthians 12, what it talks about body, life, and gifts, how they work in the church. And the purpose of prophecy, the ultimate aim of prophecy, is not for you to get a personal word to make you feel good, even though that does happen. Who's ever been to a prophetic conference and everyone rushes for the front row because they want to get a word? Who's been to one of those? I've been to those, you know. I'll tell you what, if you're sitting at the back and God wants to talk to you, he's going to talk to you. You don't have to be up the front. It's just crazy the way people do that. I don't know why they do that. But some people think that if they go to a prophetic conference, they're going to get a personal word for them. I don't think God actually works like that. He works like that sometimes, but certainly not all the time. He doesn't do that all the time. The purpose of prophecy is to bring life and transformation. If he does speak to you, it's to bring life and transformation. Breathe on the dry bones of what's happening in your life. I'm not saying you're dead and you're dead inside, but sometimes, who knows, you go through a dry time. God wants to breathe life back into you and encourage you. Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 through to verse 5, I think it is. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Interesting how that is singled out. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. There are people who speak in tongues for personal edification. There are people like Colin who speaks a tongue which he then interprets prophetically. They're different. You need to understand. One's for self-edification and one's for the edification of the church. Understand that. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. I don't know about you. I don't know whether you listen to what is said when the prophetic happens. There are others in this room that give the prophetic. It's Justin. And Jess comes forward with a word and usually a prophetic. And Nicole's done this. Many of you have done it. The fact of the matter is, when it happens, I get encouraged by God. I feel like he's speaking to us. It's not just, oh, that was a good word. It's like, what is God saying? What is it? What is he actually touching on? Is he strengthening, encouraging, and comforting me? And usually he does. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. I believe some of you here have got the innate capacity to sometimes interpret what Colin gives, but you haven't used it because you're afraid. And Colin knows that if nobody interprets, he's it. That's the way it works. Somebody, you can't give a tongue if nobody's going to understand what you're saying when it's edifying the church. Colin understands that. And I believe some of you here, you've got this ability in you that you haven't explored yet because you're afraid to. And I believe that often when people come and speak after Colin, they confirm what he said because they actually got it anyway. And maybe they should have stepped up, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because as long as the church gets edified and God gets to speak and we get to hear and we get to respond, it doesn't really matter who says it. Isn't that true? Because it's really God saying anyway. We're just mouthpieces. I don't want to be rude to you, Colin, but, you know, God spoke through Balaam's donkey, you know. I stand up here and I preach, and it's like, God, why are you doing this through me? How is it that you are using me like this? It's really important. And I know, Colin, I love your humility. I love the humility of when you deliver the word of God. I just believe that's why God anoints what you say. Because you've got this humility in here that just says, I've got something, God. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm just going to give it to you. Come on, guys. This is what it's about. God is drawn to our humility. He's drawn to wanting to speak in our midst. So prophecy comes from God and often manifests as a burden to encourage and bless the people around us. And it is always born out of a love for God and a love for people. I keep coming back to that. Loving God and loving people is the reason we're here. Yeah, there's a whole multiplicity of things in that and under that and through that and in that. But when God speaks to us, he speaks to us because we have a love for God and we have a love for people. I know Colin loves God. I know he loves the church. I know he loves us. He loves all of us because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here not by accident. We're here for a purpose. And because of that, God uses him. Because God wants to use people who are humble but love God and love the church. And it's designed to tune people into what God is wanting or he has for us. And there are times we need God to speak to us, either for our benefit or for the pursuit of God's purpose, to give a life-giving word. And that word is always spoken out of a context of grace. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you out of grace, never out of anger. Because even if God is disappointed with you and speaks to you to change something, it's still his grace operating because he cares for you. It's always out of grace that God will speak to us. It's like, guys, I need you to do this because it's good for you and it's good for the kingdom. Prophecy speaks to us as a people who are gathered for a purpose to learn together, to grow together, and to love together. And teaching and prophecy are vital for the life and growth of our church. I don't believe you can have one without the other. That doesn't mean that God has to prophetically speak to us every single week. But what I'm saying is, without the prophetic and without the preaching and teaching, we got half a church. God wants both. He wants to operate in those ways. They are both different, but they serve the same end, as do all the gifts. You know, if you have a gift of service and you think, oh, this isn't much of a gift, it has a purpose. It serves the same end as the person who's prophesying, as the person who's preaching. I mean, we couldn't have communion if we didn't have communion service. We'd be this deep in dirt if we didn't have cleaners. It all serves the same end. Your gift is not unimportant, but the prophetic just does something in our midst. So cleaners, when you're cleaning, going, I'm preparing for God's prophetic word this week. That make you feel better? Doesn't it? I'm preparing communion because God's going to speak to us this week. It's more than a job. We're a body. We all have different gifts that we're using. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the next one, thanks, Geordie. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So it says here very clearly, there's all these different gifts. Would it be terrible if all of us were preachers and trying to get on the roster? It would. It would. We've all got different gifts. You know, there is a gift of hospitality. Now, as Christians, we are to be hospitable and kind. But some people just have this special gift of hospitality. I ain't got it. They just have this gift of hospitality. I don't really have it. And it excites me because it's a needed gift in churches. But it says here, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So people go, oh, okay, one gift is more important than the other. I actually don't see that. Because when you look up this word greater in the original Greek, it says, what is useful and advantageous. Can I tell you that if you're cleaning, that is really useful and advantageous. It really means the greater gift that you can use. Don't do the minor gifts, things that are really below where you are. Step up and do the next thing. The greater gift is saying, you know what? I don't want to just clean the church. I want to invest in some other way. If you hunger to be prophetic, and maybe God's put that in you, go and do some research. Come and talk to me. I can give you plenty of books. I can talk to you about anything you want to do about the prophetic. If you are staying at one level and God is wanting you to lift, you're missing something. You are absolutely missing something. The greater gift is the gift that God has put in you for you to use. That's the greatest gift. And you know what? I sometimes wish I had the gift of hospitality. So in that respect, you've got a greater gift than I've got. Because I don't move it. You know, the gift of mercy, I've only recently acquired the gift of mercy. Doesn't mean I wasn't merciful. You know what I'm saying? I suddenly start to get it. Oh, yeah. I'm starting to be really caring. Isn't that nice? So teaching and prophecy are really important. As I said, they serve the same end, but they are different things. Teaching allows us to gain a fuller understanding of God's principles for life. We teach from the Word of God. This is what God desires from us. Prophecy actually imparts the purpose of God in a given moment. He's saying, right now, this is what I want you to do. So it's actually timed, if you like. It's a given moment. Teaching reveals the mind and the character of God. As we learn about God's character and what he does, it reveals it to us. Prophecy deals with his heart on a matter. So they serve the same end, but they have to marry together and do the same thing. And there is such a thing as prophetic teaching and prophetic leadership. But the utterances that are given in prophecy are not necessarily instructional. So teaching and preaching instructs in many ways, but the prophetic gives the heart of God for that instruction. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, the next one, thanks, Geordie. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Just like anything, there are extremes in the church. There are too many who overemphasize and depend on experiences. I've met many of them. And although they have a gift on them, they don't use it wisely because everything's about how I feel. Everything's about my experiences. Oh, yes, but God has said this to me. And they run by the experience without using the Word of God. But of course, there are those who rely on just the Bible and they think that these kind of, you know, experiences of God don't exist and it's just read the Bible. You don't need to hear from the whole prophecy doesn't belong with you. And then God becomes sterile and dormant. We need the both. We need the spiritual experiences with the Word of God married together. And the way God intended is for teaching and prophecy to work together. One instructs, brings to maturity and corrects, that is teaching. The other brings encouragement, strength and comfort, that is the prophetic. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives at his discretion. To whom he gives it, when he gives it. Every single one of us carries a profound, unfathomable call on our lives placed there by God. Every one of us. And that call is beyond your capability. Everything you're called to do is beyond you. The call must be impossible so that we rely on God and develop more intimacy with Him. Because otherwise we're just operating in the flesh. And the flesh has no benefit. Prophecy can accomplish so many things for a church and for individuals in the church. God speaks to the church, but sometimes you go, that's for me. I needed to hear that. He speaks to you as individuals. He speaks to us as a church. So here are some of the reasons that God wants to speak. The first one is this. Prophecy can restore people's dignity and self-respect. You all know the story of Gideon. I preached for 6 months on it, for those that were here in that days. Gideon hiding away in a wine press because the Midianites were attacking. Hiding away, trying to thresh his wheat in the wrong place, scared as a mouse. And God sends the angel of the Lord to him and he says, Gideon, stand up, you mighty warrior. Nothing like a mighty warrior. And then he gives Gideon this call. You need to do this, this, and this. You need to fight the Midianites. And he goes, I'm the least from the smallest tribe. Seriously, God, you picked the wrong bloke. And yet God says to him, you are a mighty warrior. What happened to Gideon? He became a mighty warrior. Why? Because God always speaks to your potential. It's the devil who puts you down. God always speaks to your potential. He doesn't speak to you as you are. He speaks to you how he wants you to be. Prophecy opens our eyes to God's love and confidence in us. You know, this poor Gideon, scared little man, and God puts his confidence in him. He says, I know you can do this, mate. I know you can do this. Don't we love it when God says that to us? You can do this. You can do this. The next thing that happens from prophecy is it can edify, encourage, and comfort. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort. New Testament prophecy, we're in the period of grace, is never divisive, never critical, never correctional. It can be directional, but it's not correctional. It edifies, encourages, and comforts. It will always strengthen the ties between us. It will make us stronger as God's people. That's what it's designed to do. And prophecy, just like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, always relies on the supernatural, not the spectacular. Let me explain that. Because there's a difference between supernatural and spectacular. And the difference is the cause and effect of it. Let me explain. Spectacular is showy. It's noisy, lots of hype, lots of rah-rah. You know, like a pre-game thing. You know, the team runs out and fireworks go off and there's dramatic music and there's all this rah-rah in the stands. That's spectacular. The supernatural is mostly evidenced after God has moved. Look at the Red Sea. God didn't go, ka-ching! Fireworks and mood music and all the flashing lights. He just said, hold up your staff. And then the sea parted. See, the supernatural is not spectacular. It's supernatural. It has the same kind of amazing result, but God is not into show and rah-rah. God announces himself, but he works usually unseen. And it's the results that speak for themselves. Think of the resurrection. If I was God, I'd have blown that tombstone to smithereens. Kaboom! And there would be Jesus with this amazing light behind me. And the angels going, ah! And all Jerusalem would see it and hear it. That's spectacular, but that's not supernatural. There's a big difference. And then Jesus comes out of the tomb and nobody even knows yet. Nobody even knows yet. Amazing stuff. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus could have revealed himself to those guys as he's walking along. But it's, you know, he's just chatting away to them. And it wasn't until later they went, you know what? Yeah, weren't our hearts burning inside us when we were talking to him? God's not into spectacular, he's into supernatural. And there's a big difference. I love it when the Lord appears to Elijah. And this is what I loved with, because it's like, you may not believe this, but I sometimes need encouragement. I sometimes need God to say, it's okay. You're on the right track. You're okay. Because here's the scripture I was going to read, and Colin alluded to it in the word that, well, God alluded to it through Colin this morning. When the Lord appears to Elijah, it says, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" See, God's not into spectacular. He'll sometimes speak to you in that little quiet voice. He doesn't have to do the earthquake and the fire thing. No matter how much rah-rah there is at the start of a game, if the team doesn't give the necessary result, it's just hype. Ask the 36ers. Ask Tottenham last week. The NRL. All this noise and carry on, noise and running through banners that we do in the AFL and stuff. And if the team loses, it was just show. God's not into show, he's into supernatural. And there's a big difference. The cause and the effect is different. And you know what? It's the same goes for prophecy. I've heard some so-called prophecies that were loud and wordy and sounded exciting and passionate. But when you work through the content, there's not much there. As I said, I love the way that Colin speaks because it's just this, it's almost like God's whispering to us. There's a gentleness. It's like, God, I love you, he says. And this is what I want for you. This is my grace on you today. It's not, thus saith the Lord, ye shall in the days to come. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I've heard some prophecies like that, that when you listen to it, you go, they didn't say anything. Don't get me wrong, God will sometimes speak loudly and clearly to us like that, but he doesn't have to. And it's not about show, it's about depth of what God is wanting to do. Sometimes God is revealed in something very simple, very simple. When you think of the cross, it says that he disarmed the powers, making a spectacle of them by the cross. If you look at the cross, it's not very spectacular. Our Savior on a cross, bleeding, dying. He could have pulled those nails out and got down and blasted all of them with his ray gun. But he didn't. It wasn't spectacular, but the result was supernatural. We desperately need God's perspective. And the early church and the apostles certainly did. God's perspective builds confidence, hope, comfort, encouragement, faith, creating purpose for us. And into every human life, the Holy Spirit can drop a word of consolation or hope. Just a word. If we are listening. God can do in a split second what years of counseling can't. Amazing supernatural power of God can drop a word, and if we're listening, can change everything. Prophesy to the breath. Breathe my life. So prophecy can restore people's dignity and self-respect. It can edify, encourage, and comfort, and it can enhance vision. Let me explain this. God doesn't just speak to the senior minister. He doesn't just speak to the oversight. He doesn't just speak to the pastors and LMCs. I'll give you an example, and it's the example I use all the time, and I'm going to single you out again, Jody. The focus of our church is to reach people who need the love of Jesus and then need the life of Jesus. And that's always been our focus. But we didn't get the idea for Bridge Builders. Jody did. And she came all those years ago and said, I don't know what this means, but, and she was, I mean, you know, she how she trembled? She was really trembling. And we said, good, if God's given that to you, go away, pray about it, and work out what you need to do next. Because I tell you something, if God's given you something, there's no good talking to me about it. I mean, God doing it, God spoke to you. And he spoke to you because he wanted you to do it, because he put that ability in you, that potential in you, and he dropped it in your heart. For us to say, okay, well, we'll take Bridge Builders and make it work for you, Jody, would never have worked. And here it is, how many years? Half a lifetime, sorry? 7 years. Blessing people, loving people. Do you know how much that's worth? You're going to stand in heaven one day, and well, you're going to get to heaven one day, and God, you're going to stand there, and all these people are going to come and tap you on the shoulder and go, I'm here because of you. 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 God doesn't just speak to the leaders. He speaks to all of us. And it may not be a thus saith the Lord, but it's still prophetic. It still speaks of a greater future. It still speaks into our lives. You mighty warrior, Jody, I've got a job for you. Because I tell you what, the oversight and the leaders, we're as human, I don't know about James, but we're as human as you are. We all have our doubts. We all have our fears. We all have our uncertainties. But words that are spoken into this church either enhance the vision or confirm and clarify it. I love the way on Sundays things just dovetail. Some of you probably don't notice, but as a leader, I'm listening, watching. I'm trying to work out, what are you saying, God? Are you confirming something here? I'm listening. Some of you just let the prophecies roll away and you go, that's nice. If you actually opened your ears and listened, you'd suddenly realize, hey, there's something going on here. That matches what was said 3 weeks ago. Or somebody will get up and do communion, or they'll preach, or they'll pray, and you'll go, I heard that earlier. God is in the business of doing that for us as leaders. He wants us to lead well. And we are fallible human beings who can make mistakes, not very often, of course, but but insight can come from a word given in the congregation, or even a word spoken outside of a Sunday morning that enhances and reinforces the thoughts and ideas that God is giving us as leaders. We need you to speak into it. We need you to stand up and say, I believe the Lord is saying so and so. And we can say, wow, we got that at the oversight meeting. And it's happening. I can assure you it's happening. See, the Bible gives us great counsel and strategy. It tells us about putting the armor of God on and how to pray and to stand and then to stand and how to rejoice. But the prophetic gives us specific tactics and verification. See, it's not that God is giving you the vision. He's confirming the vision through you to give us the specific tactics of the next thing to do. I mean, we read in 2 Chronicles about Jehoshaphat. I'm probably preaching too much. But in 2 Chronicles 20, read it when you get home. I'll read it just, it's just a week. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat prays and he says, God, we've got all the armies of Judah coming against us again. You know, what are we going to do? We're so scared. And it says in, can we put the, not in the next slide, but the one after, Geordie? That's it. The Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. And what happens is the Spirit of the Lord comes on him and he prophesies. And he says, God says to you, the battle isn't yours. All you've got to do is go out and face them and then watch me do it. Sounds a bit like Joshua outside Jericho. Amazing, amazing story. Read it in your own time. But I want to give you the how the New Testament says the same thing. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Thanks, Geordie. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. Why? So that recalling them, you might fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Do you see the power of the prophetic? What it can do? We remember, that's right, God told us that's going to happen. We don't give up now. We keep fighting the battle. We keep moving forward. We keep doing it because he's going to do it. He said he's going to do it. It may not be the time we want it, but he's going to do it. You've got to remember what it is that God is speaking into our lives. And I just want to thank Julian, because he's written down the words that Colin has been doing. Now, I know we record them, but we haven't got anyone to write them down anymore. And just off his own bat, he's written these things down, and he's given us a copy. And I've been poring over those in this last week or two. And just, wow, God, you did say that. Yes, God, you have repeated that. Sometimes God's got to repeat things, you know. Like. But it's exciting to sit. And in fact, when I preach next week, I'm going to actually, this is the foundation on prophecy. Next week, I'm going to really ramp it up. But there's a prophecy in there that I'm going to read out that Colin gave that just inspires me to keep going, to keep pressing forward. Prophecy opens the teaching of the word and confirms what God is doing. I mean, how many times does God say things to us on Sunday? Like in the office during the week, God did that on the weekend. You know, we get really excited about what God says. And you know that God speaks to us preachers while we're preparing our messages? Did you know that? Does, doesn't he, Annette? As we open ourselves to God's leading, revelation will come like a bolt out of heaven. I mean, I love when you preached last week, you talked about how the people would choose the rabbi they wanted to follow. Great, very true, great stuff. And then Maddie comes up to me during the week and he goes, you know what? He said, it's just the penny dropped. I suddenly realized, he said, that Jesus said, I chose you, you didn't choose me. It's the other way around, which goes to show how different it is. We don't choose who we follow. Jesus says, I chose you first. And it's like, I've been preaching for 25 years and I didn't get that. It just went click. See the way God speaks to us, encourages us and lifts us higher. Because when we're preparing our messages, God drives us into the scriptures and suddenly something goes, you've had that, haven't you? I'm sure you have too. Suddenly something goes, click. So good. God gives you something. And you go, this is a nugget. And do you know why he gives it to you as a preacher? So you can pass it on. Look at this beautiful truth I found. That's what it's about. And as a preacher, I take great joy in passing on to you what God teaches me. Often, I'm only a week ahead of you, often. You think I've got all these sermons lined up, you know? Like, no, it's not like that. And it's like panic stations Monday afternoon. When am I going to preach this week? But you know, I stop and I wait on God and he shows me and he teaches me and he opens things to me. And I start writing stuff down and then it's like, yeah, that's right. And then, ba-doom, the thing comes. The thing God wants to get across. See, the prophetic can do so much. Prophetic preaching and leadership. And Paul got it in Ephesians chapter 3. Thanks, Geordie. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Even Paul went, ka-ching! Trained in the things of God all his life, and then he encounters Christ, and he says, here's a revelation for you, mate. It's the way it works. I love that. I'm a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. Ask yourself, how am I serving the gospel? Or do you on a Sunday like just dip your toe in? I'll have a little bit of that prophecy. Don't just dip your toe in. Dive in. Be a servant of the gospel. Get revelation. So much more, and it's exciting. Every week, you get an opportunity to hear from God. Whether it be through the prophetic, whether it be through the communion, whether it be through a prayer, whether it be through something somebody said, whether it be through the preaching, you have an opportunity to hear from God for yourself. And you know what's sad? Is when we hear something and we don't do anything with it. It's just wasted. It's just... Prophecy alone will not save us from ignorance, nor is it going to solve all our problems or answer all our questions. You've got to remember, the Corinthian church was big on prophecy, but they still struggled with sin and immorality. So it's not going to fix everything. The prophetic won't fix everything. Paul says we only know in part now and only prophesy in part. But you know what it can do? It can confirm what God is doing and encourage, strengthen, and comfort. That's why the prophetic is so important. It can provide spiritual insight, an agenda for prayer. It can foretell what is going to happen. It can prepare us for what's coming, and it can inspire us. But how we respond is up to us. That's our responsibility. Some Christians listen on a Sunday, but they don't hear. That's why Jesus kept saying, listen what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's no good if you don't hear what's being said. And he repeated that time and time again. See, sometimes we get these things happen on a Sunday morning and you don't give it a second thought. And it may be the most important thing God has said this week. Maybe the most important thing. If the musicians could come. Let me tell you. Even if a prophecy is specifically directed to someone else, I can remember when Dale Hewitt came and he called Justin. And he said, "You're a pillar in the church." Didn't say pillock, he said pillar. "You're a pillar in the church." Was I going, "Oh, that's for Justin"? I was listening. Okay, God, you're telling me something here. And even if as a leader you go, "Yeah, but that's your responsibility because you're a leader." If you hear something like that, you should take it on board and pray it through. You see, we all own that. We all own the call of God on Justin's life. That when you go, "God, you spoke to Justin. You may not speak, but you spoke to Justin. I heard you. I'm going to pray, Lord, and support him in prayer as you show him and the leaders and the church where it is that you're taking him and what you're doing with him." We all own the prophetic. We all have a responsibility to it. I don't know what song we're doing. You pick one. Okay, worship leader can do it. I did pick another song, but I didn't read the scripture for the song, so it doesn't matter anymore. Last slide, please, Geordie. "Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words," I said a few more than those, excuse me, "to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers." Let's value this wonderful prophetic spirit that God places in our midst. Let's value it. Let's encourage it. Let's support it. Let's pray. Let's be wise in how we handle it. I want to say one thing that I probably could say next week because of where I'm going next week. But the prophetic can also be a very dangerous thing. It can be used incorrectly. It can be used unwisely. You may remember that when Chris and I came back from China once the house had burnt, and God told Chris and I, he gave us a word. He said, "I've drawn a line in the sand. You're not going back anymore. That's the line in the sand." And somebody thought that they would interpret what that means, and they prophesied that Chris and I were now leaving to live in China. And a few people got a bit upset in the church. I want to tell you something. Sometimes the prophetic is not always used well. That's why God establishes leadership. That's why he establishes a way for the prophetic to be handled. Not to be controlled, hear the difference, but to be handled. And I can assure you that unless we have invited someone to minister here, the only people to prophesy in our midst will be those who are members of our body, of the life of this church. Why? Because we need to protect what it is that God wants to do. As I said before, there's some people out there who are extreme, and they go off on every experience and they spout everything that they think without actually hearing from God themselves. So we need to be careful with how the prophetic, but I want it to be opened up. I want it to just pour over us. But I'm telling you, as your leader today, I will not allow anyone to walk into this place uninvited, not part of our fellowship, not part of what we're doing, and spout anything publicly. That's why Chris stands at the front here, and you need to go to her before you give. Because sometimes, yes, you've heard from God, but today is not the day. Because prophecy is about timing as much as it's about what you're saying. And I can tell you, Chris rarely turns somebody back. But for some reason, I don't know, she's got this gift of discernment that I detest. Because she's always right. When it comes to spiritual things, she's really perceptive. You guys, some of you understand that, you know. And I trust her. I wouldn't trust me down the front there with that, but I trust her. So I just want you to know that we want the prophetic to break out in our midst, but we also want to make sure that we're safe. Because that's what a shepherd does. You see how the prophetic and the pastoral work together? We'll talk about that next week. God bless you.